Viewer discretion is advised.
Well, 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 to Heelshare. On today's episode, pro wrestling news, rumors, spoilers, discussions, and predictions. And your hosts, Dark Cords and Draven Rimes.
Welcome back to Heel Shit. Draven, tell them what we got today.
Oh, today, episode 2. By the way, before we get into episode 2, everyone that listened to episode 1 gave us feedback. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. Without you guys, we really couldn't do this. But for today, episode 2, like we said in the preview the other day, we are doing Bray Wyatt, specifically from his WWE debut. Not the Husky Harris debut, the actual Bray Wyatt debut in WWE. On to current times.
But we're talking about a very specific question that I have.
You're talking about a very specific question you have. Sorry, it's been a long day. We're filming late at night, so I do apologize if I start stuttering at times. Please forgive me. But you wanted to talk about a very specific question. I just wanted to talk more or less about the career Bray Wyatt and everybody he's worked with. You wanted to bring up the fact that nobody, not almost nobody. You good now? You good? Okay, awesome. Nobody comes out better out of a feud than Bray Wyatt, but
there are no.
But I found one, at least one that you cannot disagree with me on, and we'll get to it later on.
The question is Bray Wyatt the ultimate push killer? That is the question. Is Bray Wyatt the ultimate push killer? Now, before we get into this, guys, do us a huge favor. If you can like and subscribe to this channel, or if you're on one of the podcast networks, just like the podcast. We would greatly appreciate it.
Just let everybody know we are on Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, Apple Music, Google Music, YouTube, Instagram. I believe you got Twitter going now, and soon to be Facebook. At some point, we'll even get AOL, MySpace, Yahoo, whatever we got to get going. We'll have smoke flares going on at some point.
That's right.
For Heel Shit Podcast.
So, I guess it stems from not so much, and that's why when I originally posed this to you, it was from the gimmick, the Fiend gimmick on, because obviously when he came up as the Eater of Worlds gimmick, you know, he feuded with John Cena, and he didn't go down in value after that feud necessarily. He feuded with The Undertaker, didn't necessarily go down in value. But my argument is, since he became more of a character than a wrestler, nobody is stronger after a feud with Bray Wyatt than they are going into it. And it just happened again. Just happened again. LA Knight was going to... I mean, he has everything to be a star. We haven't even seen him since that pay-per-view. They killed LA Knight.
Well, I guess you didn't watch SmackDown Friday night then.
I guess not.
Because now they're having LA Knight go into a feud. I can't tell if they're going to go into it with just straight-up New Day, or they're just going to have it with Kofi Kingston in particular. But them two had a war of words before LA Knight's match on Friday Night SmackDown. So your boy needs to look on SmackDown if you want to see some LA Knight shit.
Yeah, maybe I do. I mean, but still, Kofi Kingston's a world champion. He just got squashed by a guy who hasn't wrestled in 2 years. How is he matching up? Like, how is it believable that he's now going to go on a tear after losing embarrassingly like that?
Well, to be fair, you know, I know the Canadian / American / Mexicano people know Bray was going to win his return match.
100%.
He's been built up since October for this new I guess, Jeff Hardy from Hell gimmick character that he portrayed. But to be fair, you know, LA Knight, as much as he's been in this business, because I've watched him all the way back from like Eli Drake, like pre-Impact days, Eli Drake, till now. He's just now getting into his prime.
Yeah.
He cannot go anywhere but up from here. And the man can talk.
Sure.
The man can hold your attention more than a fucking, well, here we go, fuck counts tonight. He can hold your attention more than a fucking stripper at a goddamn Las Vegas club. And I'm talking about you specifically, especially when they're under 4 foot tall. Real shit. Yeah, but that's not the point. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a huge LA Knight mark, okay?
Yeah.
You go look at my gym playlist, his song plays at least 2 or 3 times every session without fail, okay? When my kids are in trouble, the first thing I've caught myself doing and catching it, let me talk to you. Yeah, it's bad. Like, I've become a huge LA Knight mark on top of, you know, his Eli Drake character. And but this is not an Eli Drake / LA Knight episode. We're getting off too fucking far. I do apologize. Let's get to, well, before we get to the meat and potatoes, I said something the other day about Dick Weed Logan Paul. Did I not? So I may have jumped the gun on Dick Weed Logan Paul for the Elimination Chamber spot. And that's my fault. I do apologize entirely. Did I mean everything I said? Yes, absolutely. Fuck Logan Paul, okay? He's a piece of shit. But furthermore, whoever fucking wrote that script, whoever produced that match, whoever even had the idea for that spot to happen, can go eat a bag of dicks and die. Fuck them. They ruined a perfectly good fucking match. And I'm not going to get on a tangent for another, what was it, 15, 20 minutes on a fuck Logan Paul tangent. But just the simple fact that somebody had the balls to even have this idea, to put it on a piece of paper, to send it to creative, for creative to say yes and have Logan Paul go do that bullshit. It made no sense. And it didn't even make any more sense when we watched Monday Night Raw and they mentioned it maybe twice in 3 fucking hours. Like, you already killed the whole fucking thing before it even started because you're not even building it up. Why wasn't Logan Paul at Raw? Why didn't they have an altercation? Why wouldn't even be a satellite like we are right now?
Right.
Makes no sense. And I'm not going to get any more. But fuck Logan Paul. Fuck the writers. Fuck creative. I'm sorry, Hunter. You are a god to me. But fuck you for allowing this to happen. I'm good. I'm good. We can move on. Today's
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt.
Talking about Bray Wyatt.
Here we are about 10, 15 minutes into the show, and we're just now getting into it. Okay,
Bray Wyatt. Is he the ultimate push killer? What say you?
I say no, but there's buts there. You're 100% yes on this, without fail. And there's a big argument to it, right? But let's go back to the build up of the Fiend. Let's go back to the first 4 episodes of Firefly Funhouse, right? You remember this? Bray was just doing generic bullshit Mr. Roger from Hell promos. Entertaining as hell. Loved them. Especially when they had the Paul Heyman war shit. That was fucking great. Good shit. And then episode 4 hit. And then they had the first glimpse of the Fiend. Right? And that 30 seconds of footage of the Fiend doing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star ran rampant on all social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. I even got an email about it from my old Yahoo account, which was not new. WWE was not subscribed to my Yahoo account, and somehow I got an email from them. Okay? So it was a big fucking deal. And then, you know, they just played it off like that was just a one-time thing for 2-3 weeks, I think.
Mm.
And then, for no particular reason, they attacked Balor with the Fiend.
Right.
Correct? And that led up to SummerSlam. Case number one, Finn Balor, SummerSlam. We all knew that was going to be a squash match. That was just a reemergence of a character. And when it comes to Finn, you're going to say he got buried. I'm going to have to agree with you there. What were your thoughts on that? I mean, I told you, there's one.
You know, I don't think that we can judge anything that Finn Balor's involved with during the Vince McMahon stage. I mean, for some reason, Vince loved to bury Finn Balor. I don't know what it is.
Balor episode, but let's do remember he was the first WWE Universal Champion. He beat Vince's boy Seth Rollins for it. And going back to reading what his proposed thing was, he was supposed to hold that till Rumble.
Yeah, but my theory on that is Vince was like, fine, fine, fine. And then as soon as he hurt his shoulder, he was like, told you guys, Finn's never going to do anything again in this company. Told you, we're not putting a little tiny brittle guy as the front of our company.
That whole injury was just a freak accident. We all know that.
Oh, no, of course it was.
This is not going to be a fuck Vince episode. That's on down the line.
Oh, we got to have one of those.
That's probably a whole different podcast series at that point. Fuck Vince McMahon.
It's an entire series.
Good night.
But even with Finn, I mean, it's always felt like he's had to climb up, so I can't tell you whether or not his value was tarnished over that feud, because I didn't see him as a very valued character during that time period.
I can.
Okay.
Okay. Where did Finn go after that match? He disappeared for 3 months and showed up on NXT and became the hottest fucking thing next to Adam Cole, baby, on NXT. He ended up being the third two-time NXT champion. If I remember correctly, he's the only man that's held both versions of the NXT title.
Yeah, and that's awesome, but that sounds like a hell of a demotion.
Does it, though? Like, it, in all seriousness.
From being a roster on the main roster?
Well, if you were in that era and you had to choose between working Vince's Raw or Hunter's NXT, which one sounds sweeter?
The $60,000 contract versus the $250,000 contract sounds.
But Finn had the same contract. He just got sent to NXT with the same money he'd be making on Raw.
I can't imagine that there's nothing in the contract that doesn't trigger a reduction in pay if you're sent back to NXT.
I didn't see nothing on it.
I mean,
you know, I stay on the dirt sheets pretty
quick. Yeah, you're right.
But again, Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. What's your next point? Because I don't agree with that one. I still think that's a demotion.
Well, let's agree to disagree on that one to a point.
Okay.
I get it, third brand, smaller audience, but he had more of an impact in NXT. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
At least. Okay. So, where did we go from here? Let me see. You might have the notes pulled up before I do. I got to pull them up right quick.
Well, let's just talk about the memorable feuds during the Fiend era. Okay, so the first one.
So you bring up one.
The first, obviously, the first one that comes to mind during his era is the Seth Rollins feud.
Oh my God!
And
oh,
that
the first thing that comes up is that god awful Hell in a Cell.
I don't know what the hell was going on. I mean, they ran the risk of thank God Seth was in a position that he was in, and, you know, it'd take a hell of a lot more to tarnish him. But, I mean, if that debacle was some new guy, and that was how he was brought in to be cannon fodder for a Fiend nightmare, I mean...
Look, to be fair, and I don't know how you feel about this, that whole feud was the beginning of the downfall for the Fiend character, in my opinion.
Mm.
Okay? Because where do we go from Seth? We had, what was it, two or three matches with him that ended with that, what has been rated the worst Hell in a Cell match in the history of WWE / Mankind.
Mm.
I mean, for fuck's sake, let's be real. Seth took a legitimate fucking propped sledgehammer and bashed Bray in the head with it, right? What happened 5 minutes later? He's up like nothing happened, pulling out a carnival-style fucking anvil hammer, trying to fucking play whack-a-mole with Seth fucking Rollins. It was... How does Corny put it? It was outlaw mud show bullshit.
Yep.
In my opinion. So, I personally think it did kind of... It did start to leave a bad taste in my mouth when it came to Seth. Of course, it was also around that time he started, like tweaking the character to start that Messiah shit.
Yeah.
But that was corny as fuck. I'm sorry.
No, it really was. Then the next biggest feud, which... is best described as discombobulated, was the feud with Randy Orton.
But I feel that was more of a feud with Alexa Bliss than fucking The Fiend. There was more interaction between Alexa and Randy than there was...
I'm having trouble hearing. Can you say that again?
I said Randy, not you. I'm sorry, my Alexa is fucking...
I'm not sure.
Shut up. We're live, folks. Anything can happen. But I just felt like Bliss had more integration into that than Bray actually did. Like, Alexa was leading that, and Bray was more like, and no disrespect, he was more like the D-Von to Bubba Ray. You get what I'm saying?
I suppose, but, I mean, you still had...
The whole blow-off was the end of the Fiend character at Mania.
Right.
Which was lackluster. I mean, I expected 15, 20 minutes of, like, their WWE title match at, what was it, 2019 WrestleMania? Like, that match was gimmicky as hell. But it was great. I went to the kitchen to get a sandwich at the Double Down, expecting to come back and, you know, watch The Shine. It's over. For some reason, Alexa is bleeding out her forehead like some undead witch, and, you know, lights go out, and that's the end of it. What the hell happened? There was no closure.
Yeah.
And it rubbed me the wrong way. And then, what was it, 3 months later? Oh, we've come to terms with the release of Bray Wyatt because he didn't want to play well?
But, okay, so the things that happened in the Randy Orton feud that are complete horseshit. The fire, the crispy fiend.
Okay, to be fair, behind me to my left, I have every version of the crispy fiend character action figure. Just because I loved it. It was so corny, but I loved it.
So bad. So fucking bad.
You
all
say right. It's bad. I thought it was ingenious. It was something original that hadn't been done in a while.
I suppose, but it doesn't mean it's good. Like, there's a reason it hasn't been done in a while.
That's what matters to me. It was good to me when it happened. Let's not forget, Randy was put in a very particular spot that a lot of men... wish they were in during that three count.
Not when he got home, he wasn't. Yeah,
I saw his wife was pretty upset. Yes. But at the time, he did not care.
Being straddled by Alexa Bliss is something on many a man's bucket list that will not happen. However, the one guy who was lucky enough to do it caught hell for it, I'm sure.
Oh, man.
Miss Bliss almost got ragtagged.
All 4'9" of him. God, he's such a lucky man.
Oh, good lucky. Lord. So you tell me, since the Fiend, give me a strong feud that has occurred.
Well, my whole strong feud thing was actually pre-Fiend, since we were covering Bray Wyatt in its entirety, because there's been a lot of talk about he's been like that since, 2016? Like, anybody's gone into a feud that, like, has not come out better. But the one person that has, we've already discussed. It was Randy Orton.
Mm.
When he did the whole infiltration of the Wyatt family with playing along and shit like that.
I mean, when we go back that far, and I agree with you, there are several examples from back then, and namely Daniel Bryan.
I was about to say him. Continue.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, some names you can't tarnish, John Cena, you know, these guys. But let's even go back that far. Other than Randy Orton back when he set the house on fire and stuff like that. That was a quality storyline. I enjoyed that. But what else you got from that time frame?
Let's go to the John Cena feud.
Okay.
Sorry, this donut's so damn good. Do you agree with the finish of the WrestleMania 30 match? With Cena going over during Bray Wyatt's debut at WrestleMania. Given the build-up of Bray Wyatt being, no pun intended, a monster. And they built up Bray. They even had a 7-minute entrance for Bray. With the band that actually did his theme, that actually paid the guy to come out here and do the theme and shit. And then, you know, Cena just does his regular run down the ring.
Yeah.
And Cena goes over. Do you agree with that? Because I remember personally sitting there because...
From a business standpoint, yes. Because that was still Cena's time. I mean, it made money for the...
At that point.
Huh?
But Cena was starting to wind down at that point. This was 2014.
No, I understand that. But you're also looking at a time when it was still expected that the hero is going over the monster.
At that point, why did Brock Lesnar win that night? Fair point.
I didn't hear
that whole WrestleMania. Sorry, Krispy Kreme, not a sponsor. But if that's the case, and, you know, WrestleMania is supposed to be, like, the final big show of the calendar year, right? Yeah. And, you know, everybody's supposed to go home with a smile on their face. Granted, 90% of that show, yes, babyfaces went over. And I know this ain't the Bray Wyatt shit, and we're going off on another tangent. But you had Daniel Bryan win twice. He won against Triple H at the first of the show, and then he won the main event with a triple threat. Mm-hmm. Great. We all knew something like that was going to happen. It was going to be like the big yes moment. Yay. Flowers, bouquet, perfume. And then, you know, you have the match before that take the air entirely out of the fucking arena. Do you think it was the right call for Lesnar to beat Taker? Granted, Taker was not in the best fucking shape.
He wasn't in the best shape, but I think...
I'm talking about just from that night, because if you go back and listen to
on that interview... Night, no, it, I don't think so.
You don't remember anything from like 4 p.m. till when he woke up in the hospital. Hmm. He remembers nothing of that night.
Wow.
I mean, he got that concussion like 5 minutes into the match. So, even though he worked that whole match with a concussion, basically... Do you still feel it was the right call for Lesnar to take the streak?
No.
Thank you. But if WrestleMania is supposed to be this big thing, And from a business standpoint, all your baby faces need to go over. There's your argument right there. Why the fuck did Lesnar win? Lesnar was the biggest heel of them all right there. Next to the Authority, but I mean, there were like little glimpses of the Authority, you know, working with Lesnar and shit.
Oh man, yeah. That's so good. I mean, I don't really have a counter to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, the whole John Cena thing with Bray Wyatt. Even from a business standpoint, I didn't agree with the fact that he should have went over. Now, granted, it did go into, like, what was it, Extreme Rules the month after, where they did, like, a no DQ match or whatever they call it. And that's where Bray got his win. But why couldn't Bray get the win there at Mania, have that notch in his belt? Because Cena's had so many victories at WrestleMania
right. Prior
to that show. Give Bray that win and then have Cena have the redemption at the following show. And then I don't know how the storyline was going to continue on from there, but then have the massive blow off at SummerSlam. Build it up further.
Yeah.
Kind of killed what could have been a 4 to 5 month story by just letting the wrong person go over, in my opinion.
My opinion. You never know what that win could have done for him, for the character. I just shanked my mic out of here. But you never know what that win could have done, what could have changed history. I mean, obviously, that was during the Super Cena time where everyone was expecting the golden shovel to always come through. So, maybe it would have been.
I did the same thing.
Smarter. Yeah. Yeah. You have got me thinking on that one.
Okay. Let's go to another feud. Pre-Fiend. Let's talk about the feud between the Wyatts and the Shield.
Okay.
Shield came out better because of that feud.
Yeah.
I mean, it started at... It was supposed to just be a one-off elimination chamber. And then it just kept going and going and going. And then pretty soon... You know, they're at fucking war with each other. And this was 2013, I want to say. No, it was 2014. So this was before the whole Cena debacle. So it started around Rumble time, then it built to the Elimination Chamber, then they had a blow off after as a side story with Cena. Yeah, because they switched baby faces, and this was right before the whole Evolution thing, if I remember correctly. God, I know so much wrestling stuff. Anyway, Shield came out better for that.
Yeah.
Seth was a better superstar. Dean was more of a badass. Roman was the poster child of the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one up there.
Yeah.
Let's continue on. Kane and Taker. Right? They had that whole feud where the Wyatts basically destroyed the Brothers of Destruction, and they had the massive comeback, and they had the feel-good moment at the end. And we all know, Taker does not need the rub, nor does Kane needs that rub to be better. They are like, and you know me, and you know you know my feelings on Taker. Like, that man is God in professional wrestling as far as I'm concerned. He did not need to take that win. They could have just let the Wyatts bury him, and that'd been the end of it. But Kane and Taker as a tag team came out better because of that, and that was in 2015. So I kind of get where you're going with the whole Fiend on thing, but before Fiend, a lot of people came out better because of Bray Wyatt, because of Brody Lee, because of Eric Harper. Jesus Christ, I'm tired. And let's go even further. AJ Styles. Granted, he lost the WWE Championship in the Elimination Chamber to Bray Wyatt. But the feud they had going up into it, in my opinion, built up AJ Styles. Disagree or not, I can care less. I mean, you can chime in on any time. I'm trying to keep it going with the water and the Krispy Kreme, not sponsored.
Yes, let's make sure everyone knows Krispy Kreme is not sponsoring the podcast, although well, it would be greatly appreciated.
I was actually talking. I was at the Krispy Kreme today, getting donuts for the kids because today was their birthday. Happy birthday, Lizzie and Wyatt. And the district manager was there, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go talk to him for a second. And so I went over and talked to him, and I was like, what would it take for Krispy Kreme to do sponsorships? And, you know, I had to have so many views, so many dollars. You know the whole deal. But they said, in your best interest, if you say our name on air and you don't want to get sued, say something along the lines of, we're not sponsoring you. So anytime I say that name, not a sponsor. Just to cover us. That's yeah. Coming from a district manager of the company. So, you know, to respect them, I'm following them. But delicious donuts, guys. Love you. I mean, y'all got like $50 out of me today, so I can't say too much. Except not a sponsor.
I mean, it's debatable on the AJ Styles thing. I don't know that it was time for AJ to lose the belt at that point.
I don't either. But remember, they did have that whole feud going into Randy winning the belt. But I don't think, because Randy was babyface and AJ was babyface at the time, they needed, I guess you can call it, a transitional champion. And so. In that particular chamber match, it was nothing but mid-carders. And at the time, you know, it kind of felt right for Bray to get it. He needed that accolade. So why not give it to Bray, even if it was just for a month? Because he lost to Randy the next month at WrestleMania in that first WrestleMania match that I was telling you about.
Right. So I think we can agree that... See, I don't think you'll even agree to this, but to me it sounds like from The Fiend on, I'm correct.
Pretty much. I mean, let's look at it. I mean, the Fiend was built to be this monster-ass heel in Vince's eyes, kind of to be that generation's Kane, to be unstoppable. And I've heard it from interviews where that was the focal point, to make him like this monster heel, to make everybody hate him. But it was so organically created because Bray went away as a babyface. Everybody embraced Bray. Oh, my God. There's a lot of A's in here. Embraced Bray Wyatt in this new Mr. Rogers from Hell thing. And I'm not going to lie. The first couple times I watched the Firefly Funhouse, I was like, what in the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Vince lost his shit. This is not going to fucking get over. And then, like, episode three, I was like, you know, I'm starting to see some shit here. I got you. And then four came out with the Fiend introduction. And then, like, it just kept building and building. And eventually, yes, it did get crazy, I guess would be the correct response. And, you know, it kind of got out of hand. But it was organically building to where, no matter what you did, they're not going to boo Bray Wyatt. They're definitely not going to boo The Fiend, because they're more or less seeing this as 94 SummerSlam Taker kind of deal. Like, it don't matter who you put in the way. He took out Finn Balor. He took out Kurt Angle. He took out Mick Foley with his own finish. So, I mean, they were cheering Mick Foley taking a mandible claw.
No, that's one thing.
When have you ever seen a legend, Hall of Famer, take their own finish and they get cheered? Nobody.
No, nobody. And I don't know.
I don't know. You got something on the tip of your tongue? Just say it.
Yeah, no, I had a point, and I lost it.
Ah. Well, I need you to find it, my dude. Okay. So let's move past the Fiend thing. Let's go to current times. Let's go to the quote unquote Wyatt Six, Bray Wyatt, the Uncle Howdy, the Uncle Harper, Let's start with the return and how that was formulated. That was done.
Oh no, I know what I was going to say. I was like, I'll never dispute the love that Bray Wyatt fans have for Bray Wyatt. I mean, I know that I'm going to get murdered just for bringing this whole subject up. And I bathe in it, so bring it on. But you know, it's just been a pattern. So let's go into current times.
You can current times. Let's go to the re-debut of Bray Wyatt and how it was built up with the White Rabbit shit. And like it, we talked about this when it was happening. It made no fucking sense. And you know. We all knew it was Bray.
Yeah.
Anybody with the IQ of 25 or more knew it was Bray Wyatt that ever watched wrestling. And, you know, the kind of the way they built it up with it not showing on air and only showing, like, during commercials and live events to where people on Twitter and YouTube and shit like that had to post it for us to see it was kind of ingenious, in my opinion.
No, yeah, I think as a marketing campaign, it was pretty cool, and obviously it wasn't a secret. I mean, it was obviously leading to him.
Yeah, and let's go to the night of that pay-per-view. I can't remember if it was you and me or if it was you, me, and Rip, which viewers you all will meet Rip soon enough. But we were all on a chat, whether it was just me or you or all three of us. And the whole show, we're like, all right, Bray's coming. Bray's coming. Bray's got to come here. And it was like right before the main event. And it was like such the perfect spot for him like to re-debut. Mm-hmm. And it was nothing. And like the air was out of my sails. I was like, all right, I'm going to finish. I'm going to watch the main event. But I'm fucking done. And then right as I'm about to turn it off, you send me a message saying, wait, because you got like 15 seconds ahead of me for some fucking reason, and you sent me the words, and I quote, "Holy fucking shit," in all caps. And I'm like, wait, lights go out, and I'm like, oh, shit's getting real. And then he's got the whole world. I'm like, that's fucking Bray singing. That's fucking great. Turns out it wasn't. It was some other artist. It's on my phone. It's on my Spotify. But it sounded just like Bray. I'm like, oh, I'm getting goosebumps and shit. And then it started showing the puppets, mm-hmm. right? Up there in the crowd. And like right there at fucking ringside was the dude with the fucking Fiend mask. I was like, oh, they're bringing fucking Fiend shit back. I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. And then right there, right as the closing credit, Bray just kicks down the fucking door. No fucking words. It was fucking done beautifully. And then he disappeared for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he came out on SmackDown that episode. And if that promo felt so real.
Right.
Up to fucking Uncle Howdy. Excuse me. Fucking Bo Dallas. Whatever the fuck you want to call him. And, you know,
we're not spoiling anything for you guys, right? Like, you all know it was Bo Dallas, right? Like,
well, if not, spoiler alert, Uncle Howdy's Bo fucking Dallas. It's his baby brother. So, that whole debacle, and, you know, you immediately shit on it. And you can't lie. You immediately shit on it. Like, I don't fucking get it. I don't like it. Fuck this. I'm like, hold on. Bray has creative now. Let's just see where this goes. Give it a couple weeks and see where this goes. And then a couple weeks go by, and he's still doing the apologetic thing, and then he's just, you know, with the random shit on the Titan. I'm like, okay, I'm still trying here. And you're just like, fuck this. I'm done. It's like, no, I will fucking keep watching this just to see. And then it's the fucking whole thing of Bray becomes fucking bipolar for fucking Like, he's having random interviews, and then he just starts headbutting people and fucking punching them and kicking them and losing his shit. And then, like, right after, he's like, hey, I'm fine. What happened? Like, it made no fucking sense. And then the fucking actual debut of fucking Uncle Howdy. And that's when the whole LA Knight shit started. And then fucking Uncle Howdy, Bo Dallas, fucking gives him a fucking Sister Abigail. Still no fucking response to that. Still don't know what the fuck that was about. That's like if we're on a show, right? And you're out there working one-on-one. And I'm coming out there. Everybody knows I'm with you, right? I get in the ring, and then, bam, just like that, I hit you with fucking dead to rights. Everybody's like, what the fuck just happened?
And you walk out.
Walk out, say nothing. Next show, we're standing side by side like nothing happened. No sense. It still makes no sense.
No explanation. Nothing. Just...
And then they start promoting this Pitch Black match, and I'm like, okay, that's going to be a fucking cinematic match like the Boneyard match.
Like it fucking should have been.
Yeah. It's, God, that was... Now, for what it's worth, we'll get to that match in a minute, but I don't know. It kept feeling gimmicky and shit, and then Bray started having like these... fucking like little hallucination things, and then on Raw at the same time, fucking Uncle Howdy's fucking with Bliss.
Yeah.
And we're still like that stopped.
Are we still on
fucking month and a half? Like 6 weeks, and then out of nowhere it stopped. Uncle Howdy shows up right before she eats a KOD, hits Bianca with a DDT on I think it was a chair or on the concrete. And then after that, there's no more Uncle Howdy on Raw. There's no more Uncle Howdy in the Bliss storyline. There's nothing. Like, it just stops.
Yeah, there's no cohesion between...
Mindfuckery. It's complete mind-fucking me. I want to know where that was going. And then, you know, they keep building it up for... Raw is Triple X. Raw is 30. Whatever you want to call it.
And then, Raw is, you know, porn.
Raw is porn. Oh, my God. And we'll get into that tweet that I saw after I get done getting my point out. LA Knight's out there building up the match, as a heel should. But at this point, I'm still trying to figure out who the heels and who's the babyface, because I want to cheer both of them. Because he just came off as this Max Dupree monkey shit. Yeah. And then, you know, you had the gong hit. And you're like, oh, chill bumps. And then Kid Rock starts playing. You're like, oh, fuck, childhood returns, American Badass. And then, you know, that whole debacle happens. And then Bray comes out and keeps him from leaving and shit like that. What was really the point of that? Like, if Taker's returning as the American Badass, Bray needs to be as far away from that as possible. Now, if it was like Dead Man Taker... passing the torch to Bray Wyatt, one supernatural gimmick to another, different story. I've been good with it. But it made no sense to me that American Badass Taker passed the torch to Bray fucking Wyatt when Bray's still doing the supernatural shit.
Right.
Now, if this was Bray Wyatt 2016, like when he won the WWE title, Bray Wyatt, when he didn't have the Wyatt family and shit, he was doing a solo run, that made more sense to me.
Right.
Granted, I can't be picky, and this ain't my GM mode yet. But anyway, let's go to that tweet real quick before I lose it. I think I sent it to you. It was a mom up in Ottawa, Canada, and she sent the tweet out to Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and she tagged a couple other major people, and then the WWE official Twitter page. And she says, I cannot... condone my children watching Raw is XXX, and she did the hashtag Raw is XXX. How dare you have my children watch something of such graphic nature?
Mm-mm.
Woman, did you not grow up with Raw is War? Sable's titties were out every week. I mean, there was more ass on my fucking TV at 8 years old than there is now when I'm 33.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be fucking real.
Serious.
I mean, you got degenerate white boys out there going blackface, telling people to suck it, making fun of, you know, the nation. You got this bald-ass redneck that's drunk as hell every week on your TV telling his boss to basically fuck off and throw middle fingers and beat anybody of management or higher. You got some dude that dresses like Darth fucking Vader or Darth Sidious or whatever, kidnapping the boss's daughter trying to forcefully marry / rape him. You have burn victims on your television trying to kill people. You have a mentally unstable man that has three different people in his head at all times saying, bang, bang, have a nice day. But you're upset about the fact the logo is three fucking X's in 2023? You fucking snowflake. You are part of what's problem with this fucking world at this point. You're so fucking sensitive to what's out now. You don't fucking remember what you fucking grew up with.
You know what's crazy?
You fucking ass bitch.
You know what's crazy? All of that shit happened and nobody died. Nothing happened.
No.
Nothing happened.
One day, we're not going to get on that. We will have an episode soon enough.
Nope, not at all. So let me give you my take on the return, okay? Because it's slightly different than yours.
Well, it usually is.
I was obviously excited when Bray Wyatt made his return. You know, the holy fucking shit text. Like, it was a big deal, even to me. All right. I was excited for it. And then we waited. We waited some more. And then
3 hours later.
And then and I'm going to have to say something about the entrance music. I have to talk about the entrance music.
Like, oh, we're on the same page when it comes to that music.
I can best describe Bray Wyatt's entrance music as current entrance music is the audio interpretation of a stumble. Right? It's
I did go back and give it another listen. And if you find an instrumental of it, a decent instrumental, it's not as bad.
No, and it could just be, you
know, the song as it is portrayed is dog water. It's horrible.
I mean, maybe it's the mix for the arena. You know, maybe you're not hearing some of the instruments, or, you know, maybe, but it sounds like a stumble.
You can find this on WWE's official YouTube music page. It's as horrible as you hear it on TV.
Oh.
Like, I'll send you the link when we're off this, but it is horrible. But like I said, if you find it without the words, which if you go back and read the lyrics, it tells a beautiful story. If it's like just a book. But it's in fucking song form, and it makes no fucking sense as a song. It's like taking what's a very iconic book? The Raven. Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven, right? And you put it on top of a country song. That's the best interpretation that I can give Shattered. That's how dysfunctional it feels to me.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And because he takes a sweet fucking time getting to the ring, he stumbles for 5 fucking minutes. It's like one of those gifts where the old person is just falling forever. And they can
to be fair, back at Raw 30, Bray and Taker had that moment, right? This is, I shit you not, this is exactly what Taker told him. the longer you take your entrance, the more over you'll be. And since then, it's been like 15-minute entrances.
Yeah. It's like he comes out.
I kid. That's not what Taker said. I know what Taker said.
It's like he comes out and he circles the ring and then he goes up into the stands and he comes down the other stairs and back up. And then eventually the stumble ends and he's in the ring. That's
like the big pop off is when he blows the lantern out. Finally, this is over. And then fucking, for some odd reason, fucking Roman Reigns has to come out. That's right after this. There's another 5-minute fucking entrance. Oh, shit.
2K23. And this is coming from dudes who have their own long entrances. Like, it's... Yeah. but
okay. Yeah, you're right.
But it's not... It's not... You don't need a whole extended play album for our entrance, you know.
you're right.
So
you could if the entrance way was long enough, but that's for another episode.
So we got that. I mean, he comes in, and then how many weeks in a row did we cut to the back and LA Knight's just under shit? Just
oh my god! He got paid to just be
under shit for like a month.
I forgot all about that, but now that you bring that up, that was just it made no sense. And
it's like
it's Bray. Okay, it's fucking Bray. We know this. Why do we care? You're not giving us a reason to care.
Yeah, you imagine that. Hey, LA. Yeah, you're not going to read ring gear for like the next month and a half. Yeah, you're just going to be under shit.
I'm going to be under shit? Yeah!
It was horrible. And then...
If we're talking LA Knight, I'm going to use his catchphrases. I don't give a shit. Oh.
And then then Uncle Howie is like...
What the fuck?
What's his name?
Uncle Howdy. Said Uncle Howie like Hungry Howie's, not a sponsor. It's fuck's sake, dude. If you're hungry, go get something to eat.
I'm mad hungry, actually, yeah. But, okay, Uncle Howdy. When he came to the ring for the first time, it was just lame. Like maybe not when he came to the ring the first time, but when he made his first appearance on the end of the stage and Bray Wyatt was in the corner just like...
I count that as first time he went to the ring, to me. Like, yeah. A debut is a debut, regardless if you start at the Titantron or if you're at the fucking ring. Debut is a debut.
Mm.
It's so corny, this Uncle Howdy shit. Like, if it stayed just, like, on screen, and it was just, like, kayfabe, a glimpse into the mind of Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy was nothing more than that.
Right.
I can live with that, but the fact you showed him on camera, that Uncle Howdy that was on the screen, on camera with all that bullshit fucking mask and all gimmicked up, it was shit.
All he's missing is a fucking cane.
Yeah.
You got jacket. And then,
like, 2 weeks later, you had Uncle Howdy, Bo Dallas, show up on fucking SmackDown, looking completely fucking different. We're supposed to, you know, believe that that's Uncle Howdy? The same Uncle Howdy from 2 weeks ago? No. Fuck that shit.
So we spend... You know, if Royal... Like, if they're planning this build... Okay, we're at the Booker's table. Let's plan this build. We always come to, okay, you start with the end, right? You say, okay, the blow-off of this feud is going to be... Bray's first match back at Royal Rumble.
And let's just go ahead and say it is the pitch black match.
Okay.
Let's just go ahead.
They would definitely know enough time. So, okay, the blow-off is this pitch black match. Shouldn't you plan some shit in the middle? Or shouldn't you, like, push back the on-screen debut to make the build exciting the whole time? Like, they gave us 3 months of, like, what the fuck is going on? And yeah. I didn't appreciate it.
This kind of goes back to the whole my opinion of Uncle Howdy. Just staying as a screen character, staying like just the inside of Bray's head. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking bring him out. Even if you want to do the Bo Dallas thing and dressed up as Uncle Howdy, you know, make it like a disciple of fucking Uncle Howdy. Mm. Kind of like they did Sister Abigail with Luke or Brody and Eric. Mm. Dude, run that. It fucking worked. Run that shit.
Right.
At least do that. But don't start this whole fucking feud with a quote-unquote misunderstanding on a fucking pre-taped backstage interview.
Right.
Like, what was it? LA Knight was talking to what's-her-name. He was getting his shit over. Bray came in, was trying to be friendly and shit, and LA Knight told him basically to fuck off. That's how this whole fucking thing started. Mm-hmm. And then the week after, you know, Bray attacked a fucking backstage hand for no goddamn reason. And it just kept escalating until finally Bray headbutted LA Knight in another pre-tape.
Yeah.
That's not how... All right, let's play Fantasy Booker for a second then. I want to hear your opinion first. How would you start... If you had to start it at that fucking pre-tape with the quote-unquote misunderstanding, how would you have done the week after? And build it up...
Well, no. Well, first of all, I would have pushed back Bray's return to at least one more pay-per-view. Okay, I would have pushed it back so that you didn't have to fill in between the debut and the match with bullshit. Copious bullshit.
Okay.
So let's say you start, you bring him in, and instead of, how long did they build that? Was it 3 months?
God. He came back in, was it September? Okay, so September or October. It was one of those two papers.
October, November, December, January. So a 5 month build. I would have knocked that shit down to 3. Because you have him debut at the pay-per-view, and then he shows up the next week. Like that, how do you not do that? How do you not have him show up on TV the week after that huge buzz debut?
Even then, he showed up basically out of gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, he was just this emotional sob story.
Yeah, which was cool. I thought it was an amazing promo the first time. That first one, he came back, I thought it was, like, I thought that would have been one of the best promos I've seen him ever do.
That was one of the best promos, in my opinion. Absolutely. But how do you go from that debut of him bringing in the Wyatt Six and him, you know, being basically back as the Eater of Worlds character to the following week being a blubbering baby? Fuck that. If that was the case, I'd had him at the re-debut go to the ring and cut that fucking promo. If you're going to be that character where you're a blubbering baby thanking everybody, do it at the fucking pay-per-view. Do it where people fucking paid to watch you do it, not on free television.
Good call. And then you could have closed it with something like, you know...
Check your audio.
Something off. Huh?
Check your audio.
Well, damn.
Yep. Strike two, my guy. Strike two.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anyway, back to the fantasy booking.
All right, so I would have debuted him later. I would have gotten right into the LA Knight feud, but I don't know. I think they could have done, like, 4 weeks worth of shit in one episode. They could have done, like, 3 or 4 backstage clips, and built that entire... 2 months worth of television they could have done in 1 or 2 weeks with just little vignettes. But they, you know, and then they kept billing him as the main event. You know, he's going to close the show. So you had to sit there and wait and be disappointed for months at a time.
This is true. And I can't disagree with that, but yeah. Let's move it on to right after the December pay-per-view.
Okay, so we're done with the December pay-per-view. We're heading into...
4 weeks before your match.
I think you've got to, I mean, simple booking works, right? So you have face-to-faces every time. You have run-ins. These guys have to have matches, you know, so, like, you have some kind of, you know, there was, I think, on one episode, LA Knight had a match and ended it real quick after Bray Wyatt did his spooky shenanigans on the screen.
But yeah, that was some jobber. Yeah, I remember that.
But I think that was the only match. I mean, how you've got to build, there's got to be more to it than just he's knocked out backstage. It's obviously this dude that's with Bray. We're old school. I mean, I'm even older than you. So there was no heat and no build. It was like it fell flat on every situation. And I don't know what would have made it better during some of that time, other than picking up the pace. And maybe that was it. Maybe that was it.
All right, let me take the book for a second then. Mm-hmm. I don't re-debut him until War Games. One of the big four.
Okay.
Of course, you know, the main event, that can't change. It's the whole Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens bloodline thing at that time. Won't fuck with that at all.
No.
Okay? Have LA Knight have some bullshit feud, say with fucking like Ricochet or, you know, one of the big card baby faces. Started at the pay-per-view that Bray did re-debut, right? Officially. And have LA Knight and Ricochet, you know, work tag team matches against each other, shit like that, up to that pay-per-view. And then have Ricochet during a pre-tape hint something dark is going to happen later on that. I don't know how to put the verbiage because, you know, Ricochet's not that good at promos.
Right.
He needs a mouthpiece. But have Ricochet say something, try to spook out LA Knight. Have LA Knight go over on Ricochet, obviously. And if we got to use that god-awful fucking music, which if it was me, I would go back to the OG shit. Just that guitar, and that's it. That's where I'd have Bray re-debut. If he wants to do the Wyatt Six shit, cool. But you're coming out with that old music. That it's just goosebumps. I get goosebumps every time I think about it and every time I hear it. Brings back so many great memories. Have them have the face-to-face there. Right? Lights are out. The only light is from the fucking lantern. Bray, LA Knight, face-to-face. LA Knight runs scared. Have Bray look at it and say, I'm here. Blow out the fucking thing. Cut to a pre-tape. That's how you re-debut Bray Wyatt. Everybody's in fucking shock. You go on to the fucking main event or whatever the next match would be. I'd put that at the end of hour one of the pay-per-view. And then have a post-match of LA Knight just grabbing his shit. He's still in his wrestling gear, still in his trunks. Grabbing his shit and just running out to his rental car. Right? You know, he's blowing off the announcer. I don't want to talk about it. Fuck this. I'm out. He opens up the back of the rental car. Smoke. What's in the back of the rental car? The fucking lantern. He loses his shit. He just runs off. That's all you see. Okay? You have LA Knight go on SmackDown for 2 or 3 weeks, do squash matches. Okay? After every match, oh, fuck Bray Wyatt. He's just trying to take my limelight. I'm the biggest, baddest guy on SmackDown. Nobody can touch me. Yeah! You know, and that's it. Tease the shit. But at the end of the third time he does that, have a fucking pre-tape shoot. If it has to be fucking Uncle Howdy, so be it. But if it was me, I would try to bring back 2016 Bray Wyatt, because that's what was fucking over. Have him do one of his little stories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you got to mix The Fiend into it for the kids to buy more shit, cool, awesome, do it. Because you don't know which version of Bray Wyatt you're going to have. But, say, Royal Rumble, I'll be back. But you don't know which one of me is coming back, right? Nothing for 2 or 3 weeks. Have fucking LA Knight run fucking scared like he was. Don't do the backstage shenanigans with shit randomly falling on him as he's trying to take a nap on the goddamn floor. Fuck that shit. That was fucking corny as hell. It's like you said. We're old school. We go with a moniker KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I would have built that up to Royal Rumble, to the Pitch Black match, the way they built Kane and Taker at WrestleMania 20. Sparingly using Taker.
Right.
Kane built up the whole fucking feud by himself from fucking Rumble to Mania.
Right.
Just fucking graphics and, you know, the music and the lights. That's it. Kane did all the facials. Kane did all the build-up. Eli Drake, fuck it, that's what I'm going to call him. Eli Drake builds it up like that. You keep showing little pre-tapes. You keep showing the lantern pop up in random places, if it's during pre-tapes or during matches, whatever. And then, let's say, Elimination Chamber. He gets a spot in the Elimination Chamber match. Say he got drafted over to Raw or some by some way. And he took, like, let's say he took Gargano's spot. Right? So he's, you know, he's one of the last three. Let's make it to where he's one of the last three, right? Lights go out. Lantern's in the fucking ring. Lights come back on. That's all he sees. Quick roll up. 1, 2, 3. Now he's pissed. I know I said let's book it to Rumble, but I'm going to book it to Mania for you. Eli gets on SmackDown the next night, demands Bray Wyatt show up to SmackDown next week. And that is where Bray Wyatt shows up on TV for the first time. Okay? He's there. And it's the Bray Wyatt that we had on TV. I don't want to call him a
just with the jeans and street clothes, right?
Yeah, like, I'm here. What do you need?
Right.
He plays it off like he didn't fucking do it. This version of Bray Wyatt didn't do it. He don't know anything about what's going on. So that leads to LA Knight, Eli Drake, basically throwing a beatdown on him. Okay? When he's done with the beatdown, lights go out. Lights immediately come back up. Not even 5 seconds later, Bray's gone. Right? Then they do a pre-tape in the back where it shows a guy in a cloak with a Fiend mask on going after Eli Drake as he gets in his car and he leaves. Okay? Now you think it's the Fiend. Comes on SmackDown the next week, calls out the Fiend. Lights go out. Lights come back up. Fiend mask is in the ring. Okay? He's getting pissed off about it. So he challenges Bray Wyatt to WrestleMania. In any match, Bray Wyatt wants. And that's where you see a version of Uncle Howdy. Not the bullshit. You see the Bo Dallas version. With like a distorted voice. Basically say something along the lines of, you don't want this version of Bray Wyatt. This version of Bray Wyatt is the one that he's always kept locked away. This is the one that the Fiend would be afraid of. But if you want it, and you want any match that Bray Wyatt wants, we'll meet you where it's pitch black. That's it. Then have Eli Drake build it up, and then the week before WrestleMania, have that version of Bray Wyatt, the pitch black version that we saw at Royal Rumble, just show up on the stage. Doesn't hit the ring. Shows up on the stage with the black lights and the paint and the mask and all that shit. So you don't get a real good look at him. But you also have Uncle Howdy as a mouthpiece. basically saying, you brought this on yourself. He will see you at WrestleMania. And then have the Pitch Black match at WrestleMania. Now, granted, I would have done it cinematic, which would be a whole other episode. But we had to do it live. Have a 15-minute beatdown of fucking Eli Drake. That match where, you know, the heel is just trying to get away from the returning monster babyface. And no matter what he does, no matter what cheap shot he does, he can't keep him down. And then have Bray just hit that motherfucker with Sister Abigail. 1, 2, 3. Looks down at him. Looks up at the camera. Cuts to black. That's the end of that. That's how I would have done it.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And the pace is up and it works.
It's the mystique of that version of Bray Wyatt that I want to build up.
Right. I gotta say that I guess people don't remember Neon from when we were kids, like when that shit came out the first time. Like it.
Jeff Hardy 2002 with that shit all over him. Yeah.
I did like how he did his paint though when the black light came on. Like that was a pretty cool look.
That was nice. I will give him that. But I wouldn't have that. I would have like that mask that he did at the end of the match. That would be that Bray Wyatt that I had throughout the whole match.
Mm.
It just looked more menacing, more deadly.
Yeah. And then Howdy Jordan comes off the out of the sky with the elbow drop to end.
He was just doing his best, Macho Man. Okay, that's just all that
ended LA Knight's career.
Well,
God, I hope not. I like the kid. I like the guy.
No, LA Knight was on SmackDown the other day, like I told you.
Oh, I know. I know. I just hope that they build him, continue to build him, and not just have him be, some gatekeeper.
But getting back to the topic at hand today, I know we went on too many tangents, and we're well over our limit for today. Final thoughts. If we're going, in my opinion, if we're going Fiend Bray Wyatt to current as it stands, I have to agree with you. But if we're going from Raw debut to when he lost to Orton before the Fiend character started, I've made arguments. More arguments than I thought I was actually going to make. I thought I was just going to stick with Randy on that one, but you had Daniel Bryan, you had The Shield, and even to a point, Evolution kind of had a little offbeat because of how Shield got raised up from that feud with the Wyatts.
Mm.
So, in my opinion, I didn't think I was going to agree with you, but Fiend current, I agree with you. Raw debut to when Bray disappeared before they rebuilt the Fiend character. There's argument there, and I think that could be an argument for another episode. But like I said, we're running low on time, so let me get your final thoughts on this.
First of all, I want to apologize, you guys watching on YouTube. I've got some kind of a eyelash underturned or whatever, so if you see me trying to rub my eye this whole time, it's fucking with me.
Oh, I thought you were trying to wipe a tear away from how beautifully I booked that match.
It was a thing of beauty. I gotta tell you, I'm almost at a loss for words. But I'd like to say that I think I feel validated in my assertion from the Fiend forward. I think until something changes and a new pattern goes, I think is going to continue to happen until I see otherwise. His entire career, it is up in the air. I mean, he did a lot to build a lot of guys as, the Bayou, Louisiana Bayou character.
Eater of Worlds, yep.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having us for this short time of your day. We do appreciate it.
Yes.
Coming up next week, As you know, I will be out of state. I will be up in Tennessee doing some personal stuff, but that will not deter us from recording our normal time, because I do believe that will be our AEW review.
Revolution recap.
So be on the lookout for that. We're going to do, we'll probably still have it out on Monday. It'll just be later out on the Monday because that pay-per-view runs Sunday night.
Yep.
So we'll probably do that first thing Monday morning. We'll have it out Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning at the latest. If it's out Tuesday, we do apologize. We try to keep our schedule as uniform as possible. Is there anything that you want to close out with today, my good man?
Yeah, just thank you so much for listening. Like and subscribe. You can find us on wherever you get your podcasts from. Give us a follow. And why do we do this? Because bad guys do heel shit. And we'll see you guys next time.